We're spending time with the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Hi, Ken. How you doing?
How are you, Carrie?
Has it felt like 3 weeks since we last spoke when it's only been 7 days?
We say that every week, but of course, another very busy week, another very busy week for the White House.
Right. Let me first ask you, because we're going to dig in on the jobs numbers, and I'm interested in your perspective on this. Presidents want the credit for a good economy, and they like to kind of take an arm's length approach when the economy is not so good. Would you say that President Trump and Congress, Republican-led Congress, have enacted some economic policies, including, you know, the tax reform bill, that may be spurring some of this job growth that we saw last month and the month before?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the tax bill was signed, you know, almost a year into the president's presidency. The numbers have been good. The numbers actually have been good all along. The stock market certainly has been very good.
Right.
Do I think that the president deserves some of the credit? I do. I mean, the fact is, we would be the first ones to say that if the stock market were tumbling, if the job numbers didn't look good, if unemployment numbers were up, we would be blaming Trump, and rightfully so. So I think the obverse of that is correct. I think he deserves some credit, absolutely.
And the missing people and the departure of Gary Cohen among his economic advisors, so far, I'd say we don't seem to be seeing, you know, the impact of that. Now, with everybody else who's leaving, maybe that we just don't have the focus on that. But what's your view on that?
Well, you know, something I thought about that as well. When you know, the president overrode his economic advisors, overrode many Republicans, including their leadership in Congress, over the institution of tariffs on steel and aluminum. And when Gary Cohn announced his resignation, a lot of people said, oh, boy, we're going to really see a reaction tomorrow and the stock market collapse. And there may have been a momentary blip, but it didn't last. And, of course, the numbers have gone up since then. So for all the claims, all the expectations that a Trump action here or there, notably Cohn's resignation, notably the imposition of tariffs, would affect the stock market, would affect the economy, that doesn't seem to be happening. I mean, once again, we should stop predicting anything, because everything we think might happen certainly has not been happening.
So this Gary Cohn departure, I think, is in some ways feeding this let Trump be Trump. And I feel like we've heard this over many administrations where they go through rocky periods and then, you know, somebody emerges to say, well, the president's just going to be the president. But he seems to, with these departures, President Trump seems to be saying, I will surround myself with the people I want. I'm not going to be listening to advisors like Gary Cohn that I don't agree with anymore. And you're going to see the real Trump. And then what, Ken?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, I kind of sighed inwardly as you were saying that, because remember, Rex Tillerson and Gary Cohn and all those other people were Trump's people as well. The president, seems to like people until he doesn't like them, until he tires of them. So, yes, he wants to have his own people with him now. And now he's talking about Larry Kudlow and you know, Mike Pompeo as people really close to him. But once upon a time, the other people were close to him until he got tired of them. So I think the worst is yet to come. I think the bloodletting in the White House is certainly far from over. Ben Carson is on the list. David Shulkin, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, is on the list. H.R. McMaster. Now, I would say H.R. Haldeman, because you love when I refer to Watergate. But no,
not a Nixon reference.
No.
Only
not
took
for
us
me,
three
not for
minutes.
Me.
Okay, go ahead.
But H.R. McMaster may be on the list. So I think there's more to come. And of course, with the increase in agitation and anger over Robert Mueller, I mean, we're seeing more things coming from the president's tweeting and his words themselves than we have in a long time regarding
That's
the
true.
Special counsel's investigation. And of course, if something happens at that end, well, there may be a Saturday night massacre.
Oh, no. Another two Nixon references in 3 minutes.
In four minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to say, when you went down through the list and I saw this grid of people, of all the people who have been fired or quit Trump's White House, I do have to say some of these were self-inflicted. You know, I mean, David Shulkin with some of the problems he's having, Ben Carson with some of the things he said and, you know, some struggles to run HUD. Ryan Zinke with, the furniture order, all that. You know, to be fair, I mean, this isn't just the president doesn't like them anymore, so they're out. He's also taking a look at the way they're behaving as members of the cabinet.
That's absolutely true. And, of course, it goes back to the questions about whether the vetting in the beginning was the right thing to do as well. And, of course, look, this Donald Trump was not a regular politician. This guy was a businessman, as you know. He was a TV spectacle and a businessman and a real estate mogul who had never run for office before. And so sometimes he made picks that maybe he just regretted, and that's very possible. I mean, who knows if he feels that Betsy DeVos is doing a good job? But I mean, from everything I've seen, there's no complaints coming out of the White House about what she has to say. Even though, for example, her interview on 60 Minutes or her public pronouncements on education have been widely panned by the media, but that has never dissuaded or persuaded the president. So I think he is still feeling his oats. I mean, maybe it's taking a long time. I've seen a lot of articles in recent days saying that he seems more confident in his abilities than he has in his first, 13 months. So we'll see. But again, we're still holding our breaths for what may yet come, and then maybe all the other, everything else gets thrown out the window if something dramatic should happen.
Ken, I was watching, I wonder if this was C-SPAN or some group of White House reporters and political reporters, and one of them was saying that early on she was told by a close aide to the president that he said to the president, "You can do the work, and yeah, it's going to be hard, difficult work, or you can watch the show." And this aide said to this reporter, if I recall this right, he's more interested in watching the show, which contributes to that whole, question about whether he really believes he thrives in chaos. Is he doing the hard work, or you think he's watching the show?
Oh, I think clearly he's watching the show. I mean, there are so many things that are happening that even when he does get involved, like that conversation he had with Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau about the deficits and whether not only did he make up a fact, but he seemed to be boasting that he made up the fact about the deficit. And I think he's still enjoying it. And there, we always talk about consequences. There seem to be, at least we'll see what happens in 2018, and what happened in Pennsylvania may not be a correct indicator, but we'll see if there are consequences. But right now, I think he's very happy to be sitting back, watching the show and watching people collide with each other and tweeting his views. And, we've never seen anything like that, but maybe that's okay. We're tired of seeing what we've seen before.
Along with noting that Nixon somehow comes up in all of our conversations with you, I think we should excise the phrase, "We've never seen anything like it before." It doesn't say anything anymore, does it?
Right. No, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think we could have said that on, if not an election day, we could have said it on Inauguration Day and then dropped it, because every day is new. And look, I think we would have probably had, if we had Hillary Clinton president or more of a Barack Obama, it would have been more of the same, more of the status quo. And there was a good percentage of the country, nearly half the country, who said that's not good enough. So let's try something we've never tried before. And let's see what the consequences are.
You think the president, who has already been talking about 2020, is going to have a little trouble in New Hampshire after calling the state a drug-infested den?
I think there may be
some New Hampshire citizens who aren't crazy about that. The new motto of the state.
Well, look, he lost New Hampshire in 2016.
Ah, I forgot about that.
He lost
it
to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, but as far as, the John Kasichs or Jeff Flake or anybody else, any other Republican who's going to come out and take him on, this is the Republican Party is Donald Trump's party. The fact is that for all the things you hear from Lindsey Graham or Jeff Flake saying, well, something, you don't want to mess with Robert Mueller. There are so many Republicans who, if nothing else, are quiet about it. They're saying, look, I have no comment. They have no comment.
Right.
And while this remains, if that remains to be the case, then I think we're not talking about any battle, any serious challenge for the nomination. Robert Mueller may change that. The 2018 elections may change that. But, you know, talking about the primary and the nomination is certainly much different than talking about what may happen in November of 2020.
Ken, I was trying to think about what Congress's next big legislative priority is, and I couldn't think of it. What are they doing as far as meaningful? Yes, they passed the tax reform bill. What's next on the list that's going to, you know, take a lot of political capital and debate?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be guns. It's not going to be the DACA program. There will be intermittent efforts to fund the government or you know, raise the debt ceiling. I mean, those kind of things, the obligatory things to keep government running. But the fact is that, you know, two weeks ago, we had the Texas primary. Tomorrow is the Illinois primary. And starting in May, we have a slew of primaries week after week after week going into the fall. So this is a real, you know, this is so silly because I was going to say nothing gets done because it's an election year, but nothing gets done in a non-election year. Basically, the short answer, even though it's become a long answer so far, the short answer is not much legislatively.
Quick question here on what you take away from Pennsylvania, the special election. Anything, given what you've just said?
I do. I mean, look, the fact that it's been said over and over by everybody, but Trump won the district by 20. Mitt Romney won it by 17. The Democrats didn't even put up a candidate in the last two elections against a former Republican incumbent. Connor Lamb ran against, he didn't really run against Donald Trump, but he ran against Nancy Pelosi. He supports guns. He was pretty much he supported the tariffs. It was an interesting kind of way, campaign run by a Democrat in a very significant and interesting district that may not play out around the country because tomorrow, for example, in Illinois, you have a conservative Democrat incumbent, Dan Lipinski, who is being challenged by the left. Now, for all the things that Connor Lamb did, you know, being like a conservative Democrat in Pennsylvania, well, Dan Lipinski, in many ways, is a conservative Democrat in Illinois, and the left wing, the liberals of the Democratic Party are attacking him for that. So, for all the battles among the Republicans, the Democrats have their own problems as well.
Well, and we should note that when you elect a lot of different shades of Democrats, and the Republicans have been through this too, that's not easy to manage when you've got big legislation that you're counting on their votes for.
Oh, that's why John Boehner is no longer the speaker, because John Boehner could not corral the conservative wing of the Republican Party and the very conservative wing of the Republican Party. And those kind of efforts, those splits among the Democrats, the Bernie versus Hillary Democrats, in shorthand, that has not gone away as well. And we'll see in the primary that should probably exacerbate the tensions within the party as well throughout the year.
Can appreciate the insight. And we had three Nixon references. Is that how we're ending up here? I think.
I'm predicting four for next week.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.